Okay, good morning. Good morning. A little better. God's word this morning is titled Remember When. And it starts out with just a little quote that I found. An excuse, pardon me if my Latin isn't very good when I read it. A ring was given to an old and loved friend who later in life had been cut off from the former loving relationship by inevitable courses of events. And the ring bore this inscription: Cara memoria delae primiriae annae. My Latin's terrible. But anyway, that means dear memories of old times. Sometimes the memories of a happy, unclouded youth, or of friendships, or of joyous days, or dreams that were inspired by optimistic hopes and bright expectations. Very often, those memories are the most precious treasures of our heart. Likewise, being a Christian, your recollection of triumphs of faith in dark days, days of doubt and difficulty, days of temptations that you overcame, or victories you gain, or the work that you did for the Lord, Christian fellowships and happy hours of prayer. All those are bright lights illuminating your past journey of life. And those are the strongest incentives, as well as encouragements, to hold fast to the faith and persevere. And so that's why we're going to 2 Timothy this morning. Because at this point in Timothy's life, he's suffering. He's not slipping from the faith, but he's tired, more or less. And when Paul wrote this letter that we know as 2 Timothy, his situation had drastically changed from when he wrote 1 Timothy. Because now he's again a prisoner in Rome. Second time, only this time it's more severe than the first time. He no longer has opportunities to preach or have friends come and visit him. And he knows he is facing a certain death very soon. And for one reason or another, when you read the scripture, you find out that almost all of his associates have left him now. He's all alone except for Luke. Luke is the only one that's with him now. And so his hour is very dark. So listen to all this, and you think back in your mind, have you ever been in a dark place in your life? Or maybe, just maybe, you're in that dark place right now. And so remember last week's scripture? Psalm 121? Remember that one? Where the creator of all the heavens and all the earth is right beside you, protecting you, and will never leave you or forsake you, and working all things together for good. So even if you're in that dark spot right now, Don't fear. Fear nothing. Don't fight over that. There's plenty. Oh, okay. In spite of Paul's serious situation, he's not concerned for himself. His concern was for Timothy. His concern was for the success of the gospel ministry. And so it's encouragement that pulls us out of the doldrums. It's encouragement that keeps the Christian strong in the faith. It's encouragement. And I felt this when I was a young boy from my dad. It's encouragement to make us try one more time. When after failing over and over and over again, he says, son, you can do it. Move your foot back a little bit. Bring that bat up a little higher over the shoulder. Keep your eye on the ball. And then take a nice easy swing. And he was right. So it's encouragement that keeps us going. And so Paul is giving Timothy encouragement in this letter. Let's read, see what he says. 2 Timothy, verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, most beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. In his salutation here, he gives Timothy the first encouragement. He gives him his own love. He says, I love you, Timothy. Because he uses the word, my dearly beloved son, in the King James Version. I think it says that in yours. My dearly beloved son. And if you read 1 Timothy, his salutation said, my son in the faith. So this is much stronger than his first letter. Because Paul's life is coming to a close. He knows it. And he realizes in a real deeper way how dear this son of his in the faith is to him, Timothy. And he wants to express it now. He wants to leave that with Timothy. Now, his own circumstances were very difficult. And yet, even Paul is encouraged when he writes this letter. Just as we should be encouraged. Because we belong to the Most High King. We're servants of Jesus Christ. And a master takes care of his servants, so is the Lord not going to take care of you? That's what Paul's thinking here. He says, I thank God. So whatever happens is in the hands of God. So what's there to fear? Paul had the promise of life in Jesus Christ. And Jesus had already defeated death. So if there's no need to fear death, Paul was able to extend to Timothy grace, peace, and mercy. And then he goes on to thank the Lord, which we thank this morning for the blessings he bestowed on us. We thanked him for the trials and the tribulations and for the extra 4 or 5 hours we have to drive every day. We thanked him for that. That's a good thing. Keeps us from getting rich. We spend it on fuel. We thanked him for not burning down all your equipment up on the logging site. And so he thanks God. He says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. He's talking to Timothy. He says, I always remember you, Timothy. And I pray for you every single day, he says, and night. Then he says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Isn't it an encouragement to know that somebody is praying for you? Now, I don't know if you think about it at the time. You go out on the job site. Maybe it's a dangerous job site. Fallen trees. In a fire. That's dangerous. Somebody's praying for you out there. And so you're protected. Because the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. And he sets out that hand and he keeps that stick from taking your eye out. And prayer is the most powerful tool that a Christian has. It's better than the sawed-off shotgun you got in your car. A few weeks back, you might remember, I talked about praying specifically, not generally. I said, you got to pray specifically. So that's why instead of saying I pray for the missionaries, I pray for Hannah. I pray for Ben. These are specific people, Lord, that I'm praying for, that you protect them. They're on the mission field. And that's why here in this little one, the chapel here, that we have a time of open sharing. And it's not because I'm nosy about your life. Most of the time I forget what you told me. Even if I don't write it down right now, I forget. And I can't pray for it. But it's an open sharing time so that we can't pray for your needs if we don't know them. And Paul, different. He knew Timothy's weaknesses. He knew his problems. And so he was able to pray definitely and with purpose. He took the scope that was on his rifle of prayer and he honed it in. And they weren't routine prayers. He prayed with real compassion and concern for this young minister that he loved. And knowing that he himself would soon die, he was anxious that Timothy would join him in Rome for some last days of fellowship and ministry. And he says that would bring joy to his heart. And so the thought comes to me. It may come to you. The thought of approaching death makes us long to see family and friends who have been most dear to us. You want to see them more often. You want to get together. And as our final days on this earth show up on the horizon and you can see them, we seem to value family closeness much more than we did when we were younger. I got my whole life ahead of me. Dad wants to have another barbecue. You don't think about it. But the problem arises that when you don't cultivate those close relationships early in life, when you become ancient in years, it's not enough time to repair that damage that's already been done. It's too late. And so the nursing homes are filled with people all by themselves, lonely, just waiting to die. But Paul here says he receives additional joy by just remembering the solid faith that Timothy had. Timothy's faith was planted and watered by his grandmother, Lois, along with his mother, Eunice. Not his father, because he was Greek. He was a non-believer. And Paul knew this is not just a surface faith. This was a deeply rooted faith. And it dwelt in him. You can see the difference. Isn't it a joy when you see faith that's transmitted through three generations like this? When you think back in your family and say, Oh, yeah, my grandfather, he was a believer. My father, he was a believer. I'm a believer. My children, wow. That should bring joy. Because usually it's the sin that is transmitted easily by blood. But when we are born, not of blood, when we are born of God, we have reason to be thankful, like Paul, for displays of rich family mercy. And there's so many Christian mothers that have given up remarkable sons to the ministry. And Timothy was an example of this. And Paul says in verse 6, he says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And so remembrance is needed, because our memory is liable to slumber a little bit. And the older we get, the more it seems to take naps. Now, that's not a bad thing. Not totally. Because how could we all live in peace and joy if every single sorrow and grieving moment in my life just kept coming back in my mind and pounding me over and over and over again? And all those harrowing experiences, it would just deaden all the joy in my life. And it would crush my heart if that's all I remembered and thought about all day long. So there's a beautiful side to getting a little forgetfulness. So the memory may sleep, but it doesn't die. It can be awakened. It can be awakened for a need for noble means. A calling of God may awaken you. Scripture you read a long time ago. Wow. It says the Holy Spirit will bring to memory everything that Jesus said. But you have to have read it. And then it brings it to your thoughts, and you say, that applies to me. I'm going to do that. Or, I'm going to change my life, and I'm not going to do that. We need to remember, just like the Hebrews did, that they were slaves. We become self-dependent. And we need to be reminded that without Christ we can do nothing. I can't go to work every single day without Christ. He's the only strength that keeps me going. We become so interested in life that we try to make our home here. And we forget that this is not our home. We are only pilgrims passing through here. Short time. My 76 years, 77 next month. Short time compared to eternity. And we become negligent. We forget that we have a great responsibility here. And time is getting short and shorter. Another thing that Paul told Timothy that we need to do Anybody here heat with wood? You got to stoke the fire, Paul says to Timothy. Literally, when it says stir up the gift of God, the literal translation of that is stir the fire. You got to stoke it up. There may be plenty of fuel on hand, God's word, but all fires die out unless you poke them a bit and get some oxygen in there, get them flames going. And Paul says to Timothy, stir up that gift that's in you. It's there. And we all have gifts that God gave us. So stir them up, folks. Now, I think Paul sensed that Timothy was a little depressed here. He was depressed because his friend and mentor, Paul, has been in prison for so long. And maybe there was some slackness on Timothy's part to stay excited about the ministry that he was in. And he started getting complacent. Paul says, don't do that. You know, a lot of ministers die out after 3 years in the ministry. Three. They get discouraged. They come on board on fire and they think they're going to build this church up to 150 people. That might not be God's plan. And so they get tired. They get complacent. They get worn out. And they leave. And you see them bouncing all around. Timothy was to stir up his gift by reading God's word. By meditation, thinking about it. And by prayer. And that way he would be enabled with fresh zeal to endure the hardships that a good soldier of Christ will go through. In verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. That word fear, that word right there in that verse 7 means cowardice or timidity. Timid. So he says, Timothy was a little timid. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us power for witness and for service. And we can't serve God without the Holy Spirit. All the talent and all the training and all the experience can't take the place of the power of the Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that also gives us L-O-V-E. Agape gives us love. And if we have love for the lost souls out there, if we have love for the people of God, then we're able to endure all the suffering and accomplish God's work. Remember, go back in your mind and remember when you were on fire. And get the poker out. Stir it up a bit. Invite that neighbor over to talk, to have fellowship. And if God's word happens to come up at the supper table, great. Heavenly Father, as we remember when, that covers a lot, Lord. When we remember when you came into our life, when we remember our past family members and how they loved you, and witnessed for you. When we remember when our first child was born, and you were there to bless that union. Send your Spirit down upon every one of us right now to stir up that zeal, because the days are getting short, and the time of your coming is close, and there's not much time left, Lord. And if you have to use us to fill this church, then use us one by one. But don't let us retire from sharing your word, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing now, and that you're keeping us strong in the faith. A special blessing today for the fellowship and the snacks that you provide every week. In Jesus' name we come to you today. Amen.